Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. You have your Bible this morning, be finding 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and you're about to enjoy another first here at Second Mile Church. This morning we're going to be celebrating communion. We're going to be participating in the Lord's Supper. Tell somebody amen.
Amen.
And you know, the Lord's Supper ought to be such a special occasion in the life of a church that you ought to almost have to pass out tickets to get in here. It is a special, special time in the life of a believer and in the life of God's family. As a matter of fact, on the very night that Jesus was betrayed, he sat down with those closest to him and broke bread and drank from the cup. And he ordained and instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. And so this morning, symbolically, we're going to sit down at the Lord's table together. And when we celebrate communion, I like to kind of plan the whole service around that. And so I'm going to be preaching this morning on the meal that heals. And I think that's an avenue that we probably haven't gone down or looked at. The Lord's Supper potentially can be a time of healing in the life of every believer. I said the Lord's Supper can be a time of healing in the life of every believer.
Amen.
I just need to know I'm communicating from time to time. And so this morning, I want us to sit down symbolically at the Lord's table together and look at the meal that heals. And it blows me away to think that Jesus was sitting at the table with not only his 12, but the one that would betray him with a kiss that night. He knew who Judas was and what Judas was about to do. And yet, he sat down with him. Right up to the very end, he was offering Judas forgiveness of his sin. And I want to tell you, that same Spirit of Jesus is right here this morning. He's right here. And I've been praying all week that he'd do something special here this morning. So if you have found 1 Corinthians 11, let's stand if you can. If you can't, that's okay. Honor God's word there in your seat. 1 Corinthians 11, I'll start there at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. How long? Till he comes. Till he comes. I'm so blessed to have my buddy, my longtime friend. He's not able to be with us a lot of Sundays because of his job and because of illness with his wife. But Wally Burchett asked God to bless the word this morning, would you? I love you, brother.
Ministry that he is providing for us.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Please be seated. I want to say several things about supper, about communion this morning before we sit down at the Lord's table together. Number one, the Lord's table is a time of, communion is a time of looking back at what Jesus did for us. And we're going to do that this morning. It's also a time of looking up. I'll be talking about that tonight. You're going to miss out if you're not back here tonight. There's another table we're going to be sitting down at together, and we're going to eat and drink with the Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You won't be here tonight. I know that's radical for some of you, Sunday night worship, but hey. And then it ought to be a time of looking inward. Inward. And we'll talk about that today. And so the first truth that I want us to wrap our hearts and our heads around, look at your neighbor and just say, I love you. Oh, watching some of you spouses tell one another, I love you. I knew I'd get a smile out of y'all some kind of way this morning. First of all, communion is symbolic of a blood covenant. Communion is symbolic of a blood covenant. Say that with me. Communion is symbolic of a blood covenant. You say, well, what is a covenant? Well, a covenant is when two parties come together, two people, and they come together in an agreement. It's, many of you have heard that relationship term in a wedding ceremony. A covenant, that two people promise some things to one another and to the Lord. And in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a lot of blood covenants. And that covenant was administered in two ways. So if you have your Bible this morning, let's go turn quickly to Genesis chapter 15. And let's look at these blood covenants. Genesis 15, communion is symbolic of a blood covenant. Now this blood covenant was made between none other than Abraham and the Lord God. Are you ready? Genesis 15. Front of your Bible. All right. Verse 7. Then he said to him, now this is the Lord, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, this is Abraham, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, now here's the covenant, the blood covenant sacrificial things that need to take place. So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he, Abraham, brought all these to him, to the Lord God, and cut them in two, down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. Jump down to verse 18. On the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land. From the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites, and all the ites in the land. This is a blood covenant that Abraham entered into with none other than the Lord God, and it involved the land of Israel. And in order for a blood covenant to take place, blood had to be shed. And so animals were cut in half, and the two halves were facing one another. Okay? And so blood was spilled out, soaking the ground. And then the two people making this blood covenant together would walk through those sacrificial animals that had been cut in half. And so God and Abraham made a blood covenant together. Now, jump on over to 1 Samuel chapter 2, chapter 20. Turn right in your Bibles. There's another covenant, blood covenant, that was administered called a friendship covenant. But it was also a blood covenant. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Verse 16. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 16. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies. Now Jonathan again caused David to vow because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. And so that's what was called a blood covenant in the form of a friendship covenant. What would take place was two people who wanted to enter into a lifetime friendship would slice open the palms of their hands and then join hands where the blood mingled together. And then after those cuts healed, those scars were a reminder of the covenant that had been made. Jonathan and David made that kind of covenant with one another. Now, it's very interesting. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 talks about Jesus being our blood covenant. 1 Timothy 2, 5 says, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We as the people of God have entered into a blood covenant with Him. Jesus shed His blood for us. He became the sacrifice. And His blood is more precious than the blood of bulls, goats, and lambs. And by the way, the scars are on Him this morning. And so that's communion is a reminder of this blood covenant that we're in with Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus, aren't you? Man, He gave His all for us. How can I not give my all to Him? Secondly, communion is also a sign of a new covenant. It's symbolic of a new covenant. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians and look at verse 24. Look at this. Verse 25. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the what? New covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. You see, when Jesus shed His blood, He entered into a new covenant. Not new in kind, but new in quality. How many of you understand we are under now not the old covenant of law and the blood of bulls and goats and animals. We are under the new covenant of grace because Jesus shed His blood for us. We are under that new covenant of grace. The writer, y'all don't have to go here. Let me get it for you. Over here in Hebrews chapter 9, this is fantastic, fantastic scripture. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 8 says, because finding fault with them, He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in My covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I'll put My laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be My people. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. That ought to make y'all a shouting something today. In that He says a new covenant He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. We are under a new covenant today. A new blood covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand who you are in Christ? Do you understand what you're privileged to? Do you understand what's ahead for y'all? Do y'all get this? I mean, we are under grace. God gave us something we did not deserve. He gave us abundant life and eternal life. He loved you enough to pay for every single sin we've all committed, past, present, future. Jesus has taken care of everything, and all we need to do is just say amen and receive it by faith. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. And so communion is also not only symbolic of this blood covenant that we're in with Jesus, but it's symbolic of this new covenant that we are in. And then, how can you preach on communion without talking about the body and the blood? And so communion is also symbolic of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Look again at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As we talked about a minute ago, communion, the Lord's Supper, is sitting down at his table is a time of remembering and looking back. Do we understand what Jesus went through physically? 1 Peter 2:24 is kind of reminds you of what he went through bodily, physically, and the stripes. By his stripes we are healed, Isaiah said. That's what 1 Peter 2:24. That reminds me when they flogged, they tied Jesus between two whipping posts and exposing his rib cage, his back. And after they finished with Jesus, they hit him 39 times with that cat of nine tails, and his flesh was literally ripped open. His back looked like a freshly plowed field. In Isaiah 53, maybe the greatest passage in the Old Testament on the cross, says he was wounded, bruised for our transgressions. He was crushed, pierced for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. How many of you all have been to a Jewish or even a some type of Seder service? Anybody? Y'all have? In those Seder services, they serve unleavened bread, and the bread has stripes on them. And it has holes in it, which speaks of piercing. And I like that. One of these days, we're going to have a Seder service here at Second Mile Church. And I was blown away in that service because every element that was served reminded me of the body and the blood of Jesus. And so, when we partake of the bread this morning, let it remind you of how Jesus suffered physically and what he did to pay the price for my sin and yours. And then the cup, the juice that we're going to partake of. Of course, that reminds us that Jesus, you know, a lot of folks don't like to talk about this, but I mean, you hunters know what I'm talking about. The smell of blood, it's not a sweet smell. And to watch someone die the way Jesus died, I mean, can you hear the hammer hitting those nails? Do you see that sword, that spear that pierced his side, and blood and water came gushing out? Do you hear the flies buzzing? Do you see Jesus hanging on that cross? He shed his perfect, innocent, sinless blood for you and me. That's how much he loves you. And we're going to look at our watch and wonder what time it is, when lunch is. Oh my goodness. God has done a great work for you and for me. And so as we partake of the bread and the cup this morning, it's a time of looking back and remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made with his body and his blood. And here's the part I wanted to get to this morning. Communion is symbolic of healing truth. Communion is symbolic of healing truth. Can y'all say that with me? Is it up on? Oh, it's right up there. Communion is, say that with me. Communion is symbolic of healing truth. This is what I wanted us to consider this morning. Most of all, look at verse 27 in 1 Corinthians 11. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Say, oh my, with me. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Say, oh me. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now that's not sawing logs, they're talking about death here. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Now, before we sit down at the Lord's table symbolically this morning, I just want to give you this warning. Don't eat and drink in an unworthy manner. Now, none of us are worthy, right? To sit down at the table, it's a table of grace. It's His table, not mine or yours. So as we sit down with the Lord this morning, that phrase, an unworthy manner, discerning the Lord's body, that speaks of participating without proper preparation. Participating in the table service without making proper preparation. And so what we're talking about here is asking the Lord, is there anything between me and you that's not right? Have I got unconfessed sin, unrepented sin in my life? You see, one of the reasons, y'all, that Jesus instituted and ordained this supper is to keep us holy and pure. God expects His children to live holy lives. When Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth, they had folks showing up at the Lord's Supper drunk, inebriated. Somebody from Montgomery County say, drunk as Cootie Brown. There was sexual immorality going on in the church. And so Paul warns them, before you sit down at the table with the Lord and partake of communion, partake of this supper with Him, you examine your heart, examine your life, examine yourself. And so I had to do that with myself this morning, early. And I just said, Lord, show me what's not right in my life. Cleanse me. Forgive me. I claim the cleansing power of the Lord this morning. And Lord, help me to turn from this mess and turn to You and receive Your gift of forgiveness by faith. And not go back there anymore. There needs to be a time of self-examination. Because if you don't do that, you're eating and drinking judgment upon yourself. Is there anyone that you're out of sorts with? Is there someone that's hurt you and you've got a grudge this morning? Maybe somebody's got a grudge. Maybe they're. Anyways, we need to make these things right, folks. Relationships is really all that matters in this life. Our relationship with Him and our relationship with others. Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking right now. Well, I just won't take the supper then. Right? Come on now. I'm one of you. I just won't take the supper then. Did you not read verse 30? For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Because they had not examined their hearts at the church in Corinth, many of them were weak. They were sick. And some of them had died premature deaths. Did y'all know, I ran, you know, you can find anything on Google, right? So I did a little Google search this week. You know what I found? There are thousands of people that go to the doctor. And they give the doctor all their symptoms. And the doctors, for the life of them, can't find out what's wrong with them. Could it be that they need to partake in the meal that heals? Could that be the issue? And I can tell you point blank, I'm not going to talk about them right now. If you want to know. But I want to tell you, you can send away your day of grace. And when you so as a believer tear up your testimony that you're useless in the kingdom of God anymore, God will take you home. He'll take you out of here. God still does that today. That's what happened here at the church in Corinth. And I could give you some names. I believe that's what happened to him. Died premature death. Is my illness and my sickness because of sin? I'm not saying that. Did my son who died a premature death, is that because? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying today is the day to get right with God. Right now, today, as we sit down at the Lord's table together. God has been gracious, has He not? I love Psalm 139, whole chapter. But the last two verses, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the everlasting way." We need God to set us free this morning. We need a healing to take place in our hearts and lives. For some of you, it may be a physical healing. Some of you, it may be a relational healing, a social healing. And for some of you, it may be a spiritual healing. And I don't know about you, but I so desire to sit down at the table with the Lord and partake of the meal that heals. Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to open up this altar in just a moment. For some of you, that means getting in a relationship with God. And here's how you do that. Right there where you sit, if you'd be willing to agree with God about your sin and just tell Him you're a sinner and ask Him to forgive you of that sin, that you don't want to be separated from Him anymore, and that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He's alive today and you're ready to surrender your heart and life to Him and thank Him for forgiving you and then just call on Him to save you today. You can do that right there in your seat. Do that right now. For the first and only time that you need to do that in your life. If you really mean business with God, God will save you right where you sit. And once He saved you, you're living for Him now, not for you. And you're beginning a life of obedience to God's Word. And you need to come forward this morning professing that you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. That's the first marching order for every new believer. And you need to come. But there are some others. And you know who you are. I know who I am. And you've got sin in your life. And you're a believer. And God's convicting you right now. And you need to turn from whatever it is that's keeping you from God's best. Or maybe you want to come and have... I'd be glad to pray over you and pray with you. You just need prayer this morning. We're going to sing an invitational hymn. We're going to ask that you all, just all over the building, would get up out of your seat and just come forward for prayer, for baptism. If you prayed to receive Christ this morning, you come for that. You just need to clear out a spot up here and get something right with Jesus. Or maybe you need to pray for a family member who's lost. Father, give us grace during this time of response. Clean us up. Help us, God, as we get all these issues right with you. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. I'll be here at the front. In just a moment, our ordained men are going to be coming out with bread and juice. And we're going to do this a little bit differently today, maybe. I was in a Methodist church during Holy Week many years ago, and we celebrated the Lord's table in this manner. And so that's what we're going to do today. And for those of you that can't get up, we'll come to you and serve you. But here's the deal. Do I have to be a member of Second Mile Church to sit down at the Lord's table? No. Do I take this today as that I need to take it today for salvation? No. The blood of Jesus is what saves, and our faith and trust in Him. And so you don't have to be a member of this church, but what you do need to be sure of before you take the Lord's Supper is that you're a born-again believer. This is a time for the family of God, and you've been given an opportunity to invite Christ into your heart and into your life. So if you're a born-again believer, we want you to participate in this. And guys, if y'all just come and stand here across the front. Now, here's the way we're going to do this. Now, and let me say this. Maybe your child has not come to faith in Christ yet. This is not a time for the children to come. If they're not, you need to be a born-again believer. And as we learned this morning, you need to have all of your sins confessed and turned from. Are we clear on all that? Are we clear on all that? Okay. I just don't, you know, communication's everything, right? And so we're going to come section by section. And we have some folks here, like my mom and Billy. We'll have to go to them guys to serve them, and that'll be okay. And I'm going to pray here in just a minute. And when you're ready, what you'll come and do is you'll just get a, how do I say this nicely? You just get a pinch of the bread, okay? And then dip it right here in the sop. This is actually grape juice. And take it and then go back to your seat, okay? Don't you do that, though, until you're ready, all right? Any questions about what we're doing? This section over here is going to come to these two. Half of this section right here will come to these two. Half of this section will come to these two. And then Brother Dave and I will be over here to serve this section, okay? Everybody with me? Whenever you're ready, you come, and we're gonna play an amazing song for you called The Table by Chris Tomlin. I want you all to listen to these words. It's very, very good. I'll pray, then Shannon and Mike, y'all serve Billy and Dave, and I'll serve Mom or anybody else we need to go to. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this precious, precious service. I can see Jesus sitting now down at the table with his disciples. And Lord, we look forward to that time where we're going to eat and drink it anew with you in the kingdom. Oh my, we can't wait until that day. And so Lord, we love you. Thank you for the body and the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Seem, whatever you think is appropriate. Let's give God some praise right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right.
Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.